Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Faith-Focused Spanish Blog Show with your host, Faith Lane.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Faith-Focused... Ooh, I done got tongue-tied this morning. Welcome to Faith Focus Spanish Blog Talk Radio. We're normally on Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to noon. That's Eastern Standard Time. The guest call-in number is 563-999-3741. If you're looking for any advertisement, promotions, radio interviews, you know, maybe an author, a life coach, I'm actually doing free advertisement for the month of April. So, if you're interested or you know someone of those that's interested in promoting their book or business or whatever it is that you're doing with your business, as long as it's clean, healthy, and positive energy, then you can come on our station and advertise on the station for free. We're also linked up to we're streaming through the Entertainment Directory where we're exposed to over 200 different countries. We have Spreaker and you know, iHeart and YouTube and Twitter and Facebook. I mean, we're all over the place now. So this week I just launched to go out on some other platforms. So I'm super excited to be expanding this radio station. So okay, and if you're looking for some advertisement and you want to get your books out there and you want to get free advertisement, you can contact me, Faith Lane, at faithfocusfinish, and that's at gmail.com. Or you can just call me at 240-640-5492. So today we got Ms. Nakia Jones. She's the author of Super Spots. It's a children's book. And I'm gonna just click her on the line right quick. Hello, Ms. Nakia Jones, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, well, welcome to Faith Focus Fitness Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you so much. It's a blessed to be here for you having me.
You're welcome. So, Ms. Nakia, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born and raised in New York City in the Bronx. And then spent the rest of my high school years upstate New York. I have one son and one daughter. They're both in college, and one grandson that is three. My husband, myself, and my mother, we live in Chicago now. And I was a teacher and social worker, interchangeable, for about 20 years, most of my career. Teaching last year was my last year of teaching.
Okay. So when you was staying upstate, where what town were you staying in, or city were you staying in upstate?
Upstate New York. It was a town called Ellenville.
Okay, I've never
really
heard of that.
Small.
I'm from
really small and you know, small town by like Middletown. Kingston, maybe like an hour and 40 minutes from Albany.
Okay, okay. I'm from upstate New York, too. Well, western New York, from Buffalo. So
oh, okay,
that's
right.
But that's still
you're
some,
up there,
that's
up
still
there.
Some, yeah, so, but that's still some hours away from Albany.
Right.
It's crazy. I've never been to Albany before, and it's weird. I lived in New York State most of my life, but I've never been to Albany. That was pretty weird.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, what do you – so I know that I didn't – this wasn't one of the questions I had, but now that we're talking about it, what do you think about the kids being out of school for so long?
It really concerns me that kids are out of school for so long because You know, you learn a certain amount up until, you know, winter break, and then we come back for winter break, you know, and instill more in the children. And really, a lot of children need the whole entire year in order for them to, you know, get those gains that they need for the next year coming up. And so I'm really concerned about children, because, you know, everybody cannot do virtual learning. You know, some kids need very hands-on, you know, they're very visual. They need, you know, props and different things in the classroom to help and guide them. And, you know, online just cannot provide that. You know, online is not for everyone. And so I'm really concerned about the children moving forward, you know, for gaining all those skills that they need to move on.
Right. Well, one of the things is some of the schools aren't even doing virtual meetings.
Right.
Mr. King, can you do me a favor? I don't know if it sounds like the volume is up high, maybe on the radio or something, because it's giving me a loud echo on this end.
Okay.
I'm not for sure. But, yeah, some of the schools, people that I've learned found out that the kids not even doing virtual.
Right, and I have heard the same thing, that there are some kids that are not doing virtual, and that's even more concerning for me. I mean, even if, you know, kids are given packets and, you know, they're doing the work at home, there are still children that need, you know, that extra work. And with math being so different today, you know, many parents, we've learned in a different way. And so they're not able to help their student, even if they got a full packet, you know, of work. It's just different than having hands-on in a classroom, learning a skill, and then learning a skill from a computer. You know, even if they're able to ask their teacher questions, it's just different to not have that person, you know, next to you and working with you. It's really different for a lot of children, especially special education children.
Right. Because I was thinking if I had kids right now, they would be in trouble. Because I've seen some of the way they do some of this math is totally different than what we were taught. So I would be totally lost right now.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. I was thinking about that.
Right.
Right. So
many parents
I think my,
that way.
Right. I don't know. I got to ask my niece because I think they're they just gave her the information and she's the teacher. And I know sometimes a lot of the parents, they get frustrated, you know, trying to help the kids. So just got to pray for them and hope that they, you know, be able to make it through this process so we can get them back into school.
Right. So. Absolutely.
So explain to, I know we, so I know you talked about, I cannot pronounce the name of the skin disorder that you have. How do you pronounce it?
It's called vitiligo.
Okay, vitiligo. Okay. Tell me a little bit about, explain to me what that is.
So vitiligo is an autoimmune condition. And what happens is your body, something attacks your immune system and your body, and your body stops producing melanin. So whatever, you know, form or color you are, you will start to gain white spots, which is the absence of color, because your body is no longer producing melanin. So it's a condition where, you know, there's a couple of different types of vitiligo, but in any case, everyone that has vitiligo will experience the appearance of white spots.
Okay. Okay. How long were you, when did you get diagnosed? Because from what I understand, it don't have an age. When did you get diagnosed with it?
So I was diagnosed with vitiligo at 38. And you're absolutely right. Vitiligo does not have an age. Some people have it as children. This year in my travels, people that were 79, 69, 50, 51 were just being diagnosed with it. So there is no age and there is no gender and there is no race. It hits all people.
Okay. Ms. Nakia, I'm getting a little feedback. I don't know if it's another radio or something playing in the background.
Can you hear me better?
Yes. Okay, that's a little bit better. Thank you. Because on this end, it echoes and it's really loud, so I appreciate you.
No,
you said you were 30. So what happened? Well, first of all, what was your did you start having some type of symptoms or things like that that made you start being concerned? What was it that happened?
So there's really no symptoms, no physical feeling for vitiligo. You basically just start getting white spots. And that is, you know, how that is what brings attention to you being checked out. You start getting white spots, you know, anywhere in your body. It can start on your face, your hand, your leg. Everyone starts in a different place. So that's the only symptom that we're going to receive is that we're going to get a white spot.
Mm-hmm. So did you start noticing different splotches or something? What was it that that made you start noticing something wasn't right?
So mine began on my wrist. I had a white spot on my right wrist. And, you know, I kind of ignored it at first, like, okay, you know, tried to wipe it off, you know, thinking whatever. But it, you know, it turned into two spots, you know, after a while. So that's what kind of made me pay attention to it, is when, mm-hmm. you know, one or two more, you know, came.
Mm-hmm. When you went to the doctor, did you go to a dermatologist or you just went to your regular doctor?
So I went to the doctor for something else, and the doctor mentioned, you know, just for like a checkup, and the doctor mentioned that, you know, I believe that you have vitiligo. And I'm like, what is that? You know, I had no clue, but she seen the spots. And so after hearing her say that, I then went to a dermatologist because, yes, it's a skin condition. And so that's the doctor that you need to go to in order for them to do a biopsy and then be diagnosed.
Oh, I didn't know they have to do a biopsy. Wow.
Right. So they stick a needle right where the white spot is. That gives them the determination that you have vitiligo or you do not.
Wow. Okay. Wow, that's interesting. So, how do they treat it?
Well, you know, this is my visit to the dermatologist, and I've heard many people with vitiligo say this. Like, you know, I'm not saying that all dermatologists don't have bedside manners. However, when they present it to us and present, you know, any ulcer or treatment, it's very vague and it's not very encouraging. And so after he took the biopsy test and came back and told me I have vitiligo, his next words were, you know, it's not pretty and there's really no cure for it. So, of course, you can imagine.
Mr. Kidd, your phone is going in and out. I'm sorry.
Okay, can you hear me now?
That's perfect.
Okay. So, yes, I went to the dermatologist, and the visit was not the most pleasant, especially, you know, I'm not saying that all dermatologists are like this, but many of them just have horrible bedside manners in speaking with us about vitiligo, the cures, and how it happens, because honestly, they do not know why or how you got vitiligo, and they have no cure for it. So when I visited the dermatologist, he was like, after he came back from the biopsy testing and said, yes, you have vitiligo, this was his next words. It's not pretty and there's no cure. So, of course, you know, I left there extremely discouraged because I'm an African-American and I was a very dark-skinned African-American. So this was going to be very noticeable for me. So to hear it's not pretty and it's no cure was extremely scary for me.
Wow. Wow.
Yes.
Well, that was pretty rude of him.
Absolutely. And I've heard so many other people with vitiligo share this similar stories.
Wow.
Right. And so to answer your question, mm-hmm. What they offer us is maybe a topical cream. You know, that was the first thing that he offered was some topical cream, you know. And I have heard of some people
you know, the cream working for them and some other things. But I was so, you know, when you first get it, you have so many mixed emotions, you know. And like I said, I'm a very dark-skinned person. So to imagine that I'm going to maybe fully white one day, I was just so heartbroken and depressed. I didn't really look into anything immediately. You know, I was just praying that it would go away, you know.
Right. Well, it seemed like they would have some internal medications instead of just the topical, that it would help from the inside out versus the outside in.
Right, and you would think that because it is an inside job, but this is what I have to say. You know, they cannot say to any vitiligo person, this is how you got vitiligo, right? They don't know which area it comes from. They know that something attacks the melanocytes, right? Because that's the things that produce melanin. They know that something attacks it, but they don't know what attacks it, right? So they can line up 10 of us with vitiligo, and all of us, you know, we don't know how we got it, right? They say stress can cause it, a traumatic event, you know, something that you've taken, you know, we don't know. So because they don't know where it comes from and where the problem stems from, they have no way to treat it internally because they don't know where it came from.
Right.
Right.
Wow. So do you have complications from it, or do people have complications from it?
There's no physical complications. There's, I will say this. Some people who have vitiligo also have other autoimmune diseases, you know, maybe like lupus or issues with the thyroid. I have seen that happen. But like I said, if you line up 10 people with vitiligo, you will hear 10 completely different stories. I am in vitiligo support groups. You know, I know many people that do the conference every year, and I have not heard one similar story. And I know about 75 people that have vitiligo.
Right. Wow. So do it have any special effects on you? And the reason why I know to ask some of these questions, because I used to work at a camp a lot of the kids have different type of issues. So I know sometimes being in the sun might cause certain things. Like I had a couple of kids that was albino, and I know we couldn't have them out in the sun. Are any of those complications or anything? Do you know?
Absolutely. We, you know, because it's the lack of melanin, right? That color that protects you, that gives you that vitamin D. So having vitiligo is the absence of that. So absolutely. I experienced my first sunburn 2 years ago in Florida. I've heard that we all should wear sunburn, but I've never worn it. And so I had my first experience with sunburn. And so I began to ask some friends, hey, you know, does it feel like this? And they're like, yes. So I immediately just took some lavender essential oil and rubbed it all over where the sunburn was. And I think I took the sting out of it, you know. So, yes, we have to wear sunscreen. You know, it's a lack of melanin. And so, we're really susceptible to sunburn in the sun.
Okay. I just actually pulled it up, too, and it says some complications in social and psychological distress, sunburn, eye problems, and hair loss.
Yes. So, like I said, some people who also have vitiligo may have alopecia, but it definitely takes a huge emotional toll on you because one thing about vitiligo, you know, I have come to accept it, you know, seeing the beauty in it, stopped wearing makeup to cover it up, you know, in the hopes of inspiring others, and it has. But at the same time, we have to continue to fall in love with ourselves again because vitiligo changes day by day. You know, just 2 months ago, I had more color in my face than I do now. You know, just 2 months ago or last month, you know, I had more color on my legs than I do now. So it's like you can get used to one way, like, okay, I can deal with this look. And then in 3 weeks, it's going to change.
Right. And it says a triggering event such as stress, severe sunburn, and skin trauma such as contact with chemicals. So you definitely got to be careful with cleaning your skin with different chemicals. Wow.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Well, we have a couple of callers on the line. I'm opening up the lines for a minute so they can ask questions. And we're going to come back because I want to eventually talk about your book that you read. But hold on for 1 second. I'm opening up the line. We have a caller from 708-678-703 area code. Do you have any questions you want to ask Ms. Nakia Jones? Area code 708. Okay. I'm going to put you back on hold, and I'll come back in a few minutes to see maybe if you have any questions.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Sorry about that. Well, I just wanted to ask Ms. Jones, how does she maintain her incredibly positive disposition? Because I have really enjoyed listening to her speak, and she just sounds like one of the most positive people I've ever encountered. And to be facing something that she herself admits does challenge her self-esteem, how does she maintain such a positive disposition?
Mr. Kia, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, did you hear the question?
I did. So the first thing I'm going to say is definitely, you know, my faith definitely helps me keep a positive disposition. The second thing is I have always been a person that has enjoyed life and tried to enjoy life to the fullest daily. And I have to understand that, you know, vitiligo is something that I have. It's definitely not who I am, but it is something that, you know, does not have a cure and will not go away. And so it came to the point that I had to accept it. And I was not going to let that, just like I don't let anything else, you know, deter me from having the best life that I can have. And so basically I just accepted it and I moved on and I inspired others to do the same.
Well, I don't even have vitiligo, and I'm very impressed and inspired by you. So thank you for being you.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
So, yeah, do any other callers have any questions they want to ask Ms. Nakia Jones? The lines are open. All right, well, I'm going to leave the lines open, but if you could put your phone on pause, on mute, then that way that if you have any questions, you can just chime in, okay? So I'm going to just keep you on, if you could just put yourself on mute. Thank you, I appreciate it. So, so let me ask, do you, have they ever told you if it could be reversed or is just a permanent thing now?
The doctors will, I haven't heard a doctor say that it can be reversed. I will say this, some people early on did meditation and that helped them tremendously and the spots went away. And I guess that would speak to the stress.
Okay.
Some people became a vegan. Strictly vegan, and they have seen some repigmentation happen. I have had it for almost 3 years now. I have not experienced any repigmentation that I can recall. However, some people do. Some people take vitamin D, which helps produce the skin color. However, some people experience hyperpigmentation, which means your skin is going to come back darker than it was the first time. And
wow.
Right. And so because of that, I don't look at that route. But what I do try to do is, you know, remain as healthy as I can. I do practice vegan most of the time, but I am still vegetarian. I will eat fish and shrimp. And so and try to put those things in my body that are helpful or speak to the immune, you know, or anything else like ginkgo biloba and some other herbs that I've used. So I just try to be conscious of those great herbs that you need for your body and what my situation deals with. But when I got vitiligo, I was in grad school and I was a teacher. So I was extremely stressed out on top of having teenagers and married, you know, I had extreme stress. So that could have definitely added to mine.
Right. What grade were you teaching? Sorry.
I taught all grades from 3 to 12, but when this began, I was in middle school. I was eighth grade teacher.
Okay. Okay, okay. Wow. That's kind of, that's crazy to know that stress can cause even things like that to happen.
Absolutely, because, I mean, who doesn't have stress, right? We all have it, and sometimes we have it and we don't know, you know?
Right.
So, it's hard to gauge.
And it's funny you said that because I was just telling my friend earlier, I said, I have been really having a lot of issues with sleeping at night. But I don't feel like I'm stressed out, but obviously I must be stressed about something because I've really been having some issues with sleeping. So, wow, so that's crazy. So I know that you go around to the different schools and educate the community about, you know, about your, I forgot, how do you pronounce it again? I'm sorry.
Vitiligo.
Vitiligo. How do you, I mean, when did you start going from school to school? What was it? Was it something that triggered you to want to go and start educating people about it?
So it was. I just stopped wearing makeup last year, right? I was teaching fourth grade my last year of teaching, and my kids were so instrumental and helpful in me taking the makeup off. Right, and also my vitiligo group. And so when I stopped wearing the makeup is when I stopped, when I started experiencing the things that children experience, you know, for having vitiligo all of their life in school, work, and et cetera. People would ask me things like, it's not Halloween, why do you have that mask on? And, you know, is that a costume? You know, I even had one woman try to touch my face. And so... Yes, she tried to grab my foot. She was like, is that paint? And tried to, you know, I had to back up and say, excuse me, you know. And so I realized that there is an ignorance. And when I say that, I mean this. You know, it's a not knowing, but it's also a how do you approach people that look different? I understand people have questions, definitely a way to do it. And so after hearing people in the group say they were bullied in school, they were teased, and not just by children, by adults or teachers would make comments, you know, it let me know that, hey, I better do something in the foundational years, and that means smaller kids, so they can grow up with an awareness and a knowing about it. Does it still help adults? Absolutely. You know, I go to many adult things, but my focus is children because those are the years that you build your self-confidence. Those are the years that you learn the most, you know, to count, to what the world is about. And so I am always concerned about those foundational years and what children learn. And so that's why I began going to schools to get it out there to that generation.
Right. Wow, that's pretty bold for someone to want to touch your face. I don't get that, and especially an adult on top of it.
Yes.
Wow. That's, I don't know what I would have did if somebody came up to me to try to touch my face.
Right.
These days, I'm gonna need you to step away.
Right.
Wow.
Definitely.
Well, it's crazy because we never ever spoke before. And you've been on my Facebook page for a minute. And I remember when I added you to my page a long time ago. And I don't know why I never got a chance to go back there and talk with you. But I normally would not add people to my pages for the last 2 years. It's the reason why I'm curious about their story. You know, and then a lot of times I have a lot of authors and things like that on my page. So, you know, I'm curious about their books and things like that. So I did mean to reach out to you, and it just so happened I came across, I think you have posted something last week or so, and I replied to it, and I was like, this is the time for me to say something to her. Because I remember the first time when I saw it, because you know how sometimes you could get, they have you suggest this person to add to your page. And I remember when I first saw you, I was like, oh my God, I said, she is so beautiful. And I was like, I have to say something, but I wanted to know your story. And I was like, I got to say something. And I totally forgot about going back. So I'm glad that whatever it was that how we got connected this time, that I was able to connect with you because I said I wanted to hear your story. And and it's just really cool to see how inspirational that you are, just watching you from afar. And finally getting a chance to be able to interview and talk with you so you can help share your story, because, you know, it's about educating people. And you know, that just baffled me when you just said somebody did that. And I'm like, really? I mean, I don't understand why somebody would do that. But, again, it's because she wasn't educated, and she thought that was okay. So tell us, I know you have a couple of books out. One book is called Tell Me, My Name is Nina. Was that your first or your second book?
So Nia is Super Spots. Nia is the character in Super Spots. And,
okay.
Right. And so last year I did an after-school program, creative writing for children. And so I had them take their really horrible rap songs, trap music, whatever you call it today, and I had them change it into something positive. And so we were doing a lot, you know, changing nursery rhymes, all kind of things. And in that, I wrote a story the first day to, you know, explain to my kids the process of creative writing. And so it was just a story about Candy jealous of the other one and fighting. And they were like, Miss Jones, that's so good. And I was like, yeah, you know, thinking like, it's just a story. It's easy. Everybody can do it. And one of my students quickly let me know, no, Miss Jones, everybody cannot do that. You know, because, I mean, I'm an English teacher. I guess I just assumed, you know, that, I mean, you can write a story in 2 seconds. It's easy. And so with that being said, they were like, well, we're writing, Miss Jones, write a book, like, write a story, help people with vitiligo. You know, they were just an amazing group of kids. So that's where it came about. You know, was Super Spots. And I mean, it was all of God. I cannot take any credit for this. They gave me the idea. And then the next day, we had, after that weekend, we had a day off, you know, of school. And I sat in my office in my home from 6 a.m. My husband left for work. I'll never forget it. And I was there until 3 p.m. when he came home. And I still went until 6 p.m. that night. And that is how Super Spots was birthed. I mean, you know, on the computer, erasing, going back. Within that 10 to 12 hours, Super Spots was birthed. And I knew it was nothing but God. I cannot take the credit, you know, that this story was created about a very young and positive girl. You know, I did not focus on the bullying that we know happens. I did not focus on the teasing and how you feel with having vitiligo. I totally turned it into a superpower and had Nia take ownership of it and share it and give knowledge about it.
Wow. Wow. It's amazing because, like I told you, I've talked to a lot of authors, and for them to tell me how fast they write a book, I'm like, wow, I need to get busy. Because
right?
I've been talking about writing my own book, and I've been procrastinating. I always talk to the people I train and develop. I always tell them about procrastinating, and here I am procrastinating about writing my story. But it's going to get done, but it's amazing how fast some people actually write those books. So that's
absolutely
pretty cool. It just shows
thank
how determined you are about getting it done.
Right.
Yes, ma'am. You're welcome. So do you plan on writing any other books?
So during this pandemic, I have written four books. Four more books.
Really?
Yes. So this Super Spots was birthed, and right after, 2 months after Super Spots, I wrote 7 Days of Prayer for Blended and Unblended Families, because my husband and I have a blended family, and I was just speaking to, you know, the struggles of that and bringing a family together, two different perspectives of parenting, two different perspectives of everything, because, you know, everybody has a different way of doing things. And so I wrote that. I created a word find book when the pandemic started, because I'm still very connected to many of my parents and children. They're like, look, we need something for these kids to do. We need help. So I created a book full of word finds with all different topics that they, you know, may not have heard before, herbs and healthy eating and exercising and mountains all over the world. So I created that. But I also did two more children's books and a book for young girls. So every day I write, right, because I don't have anything else to do. So
now, you're
I'm
putting me in shame
day
over here now.
And I don't mean to do that, but I will say this to you. Depending on the topic of the book, right? If we're writing about, you know, children's stories, it still can take a while and go through some editing and stuff like that. But when you're writing about real topics about life and forgiveness and repentance or hurt or rejection, that takes time. Because when you're writing that, if you have partaken any part of those things, you're going to have to relive that. And that's not always easy. You understand what I'm saying? So when you're writing your story or you're writing what you have experienced, that's not a 10-hour job because you have to go back and live what you experienced, and that's not always easy. So for those books, it takes a little bit longer.
Right. Right. You're right about that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them, they've been getting on me like, when you going to get it done, sis? I'm like, I'm going to get it done.
Right.
So you're right.
It
might be, right. I think it's because I have, it's a lot of pain and stuff, right? You're right, that I don't want to deal with, but I know I need to. And so, I'm going to get it done.
You will.
So do you have events or have you had any? Do you plan on having any in the future?
So I go to schools a lot because I'm from New York. I started with New York, going back to my old elementary school, the two of them, and I went back to my old high school, the elementary part. So I had a lot of events planned that, of course, because of this got canceled, but I'm already looking and booking things for next year. You know, because I was a teacher and I'm so passionate about children and their future, I will always be connected to the children. You know, it was really unfortunate to learn. And I guess when I was younger, I've never met an author. But in all of the schools that I went to, and I've been to about 15 in Chicago, 4 in New York, all of the children said the same thing. I've never met an author. And I was like, wow, you did it? But then I had to think, oh, I never did either, you know? And so it's such a powerful thing. You know, a lot of people say today, children are so mean. And I have to not say that because I know that all people can be mean, right? We have the capacity. But I have met the most amazing children with the most amazing confidence, stories, and input that they've given me on Super Spots, you know? And so I have to say kids are amazing. And they're so, you know, in tune with so many things that we may think that they're not, you know, and who they are and where they're going. You know, kids that experience bullying and overcome it, kids that were the bully and know better now. You know, I think that there are some amazing kids, and we don't give them enough credit.
Right. Exactly.
So
wow.
I'm always going to stay connected to children. And you know, I mean, you know, if a kid today saw LeBron James, they would probably go insane. Any little boy that is, you know, connected to basketball. But when I tell you that I step in these schools and I am like the biggest superstar ever, it's amazing to see because I'm an author.
Right.
And it's about reading. And we think that kids don't read or they're not interested in it. But you are a superstar to them.
Right.
And that's
powerful. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's super awesome. Yes, ma'am. Now, I know, well, I'm going to have to, because we did go through a lot of the questions, but if people wanted to, you know, get in contact with you, how can they get in contact with you?
So on all of social media, on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Facebook, I am Author N. Jones. They can find me that way through all of them, you know, and send a message. And I usually share my email and everything through there. You know, if they wanted to email me, they could definitely go on any of those, you know, avenues to reach out to me.
Okay. If you can pronounce it, I mean, if you don't mind spelling the email and things like that for the people that's listening right now, if you don't mind doing that for me.
So my email is Take an Adventure with Nia, and that is TakeAnAdventure T-U-R-E W-I-T-H-N-I-A @gmail.com.
Cool. It would have been so awesome to have some of the kids on just to hear some of them talk about it. That would have been
right.
So awesome. I wish
really
I would have known that. I would have, yep, I would have, you know, asked you to have some of the parents get on so they can, you know, get on. So with your book, what is the vision that you have with that? Or, you know, we're like, you know, what's the well, of course, we know the target audience are children. But what is your vision? What is it that you want to accomplish with your book and getting your information out there?
So my vision is this. It is simply bringing awareness so that children don't have to hear, why do you have that mask on? It's not Halloween. You know, awareness looks just like this, and it's always my example. You know, when we buy a new car, you know, we have this new car, it's new, you know, we see it. And so everywhere we go now, we see this car. It's not that that car wasn't there before, because it definitely was, but now that we have it, right, now we're aware of it. And that's what I want to happen. I want children, adults, teenagers to see somebody with vitiligo and simply say, oh, they have vitiligo. They know what it is. They know what it looks like. That is my aim
right.
and my goal, to go to all 50 states, you know, and go to these schools and youth organizations or adult organizations and speak to people about vitiligo, about what it looks like, about what it is, that you can't catch it from touching people. You know, my whole aim is to bring awareness, because when people are aware, now you know, and that's
right.
my whole vision. Yes.
Wow. Yeah, I've worked with, you know, different type of people that had different type of issues. So I'm used to, you know, and understanding that. But you're right, a lot of people just don't know what they don't know. And it's about being educated to know better, too, to know how to treat people as human beings and not worry about what you're seeing on the outside, because it's not about the outside. It's not about that shell. It's about it's about what's in your heart. And so it's about educating people about it and being open-minded too, and teaching your children. Because a lot of times
right.
the kids learn the stuff that if the parent is not properly educated about certain things, how can they educate the kid? And
right.
so when you have someone that's actually walking up to somebody trying to touch their face, that means that person is not educated about this, so how can they educate their kid? And so you're
Absolutely.
Right. It's about the educational part about it. Wow. So do you have a mission statement with your book or anything yet? Or?
I don't have a mission statement with my book. I just recently, about 2 months ago, did start a publishing company called Uniquely mm-hmm. Purposed LLC. And so my aim with that is to help children get their story out, because there's some amazingly creative children that have a story. So in the next few months, I will be, you know, developing that and getting that up and going on the ground so that I also can self-publish all, you know, the rest of my books, because that's what I'm doing now. I did traditional mm-hmm. publishing the first round, but I'm going to now self-publish all the rest of my books. That's definitely, yeah.
That's awesome. Do you have a plan already how much you charge or anything like that?
I don't have a plan yet about how much I'm going to charge. That's, you know, all what needs to be worked out in these few months. You know, I'm thankful for this time for that, because I can definitely sit down and get that together. When I was traveling to schools and in and out of different states, you know, that was harder. I didn't have as much time to focus in on this as I do mm-hmm. now. So this time is really helping that.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy, because we don't even realize how much time we got now that it's time to fix some things that need to be fixed if they have to be fixed. I encourage people to use this time to do that.
Right.
So
right.
A lot of people, they never realize how much time they've been wasting on other stuff when they could be wasting it on, I mean, you know, using that time for whatever it is that you've been planning on doing for your future or whatever anyway. So to me, I think this is a time for people to wake up and then and just do what you planned on doing. Start your goals and your dreams and whatever it is. So that's good that you're utilizing it in a good way to get some things done that you didn't think you had the time to do from before.
Right, I agree. It definitely is a time to get those ideas out there.
Right. So if you could say anything to the world, because we are talking to the world right now, this is a global platform. So if you could say anything to the world, what would you say to them?
If I could say anything to the world, I would say regardless of, you know, what you're dealing with, whether you have vitiligo, whether you're an albino, whether your skin is messed up because you were burned, you know, whether one of your fingers were chopped off, anything that, you know, makes you look different from, quote unquote, what they call normal, or you're facing anything that people can see, because some people are going through things within their body, but we can't see that. When people can see something about you that looks different, you know, you get stares wherever you go. And so I would say that we cannot change our differences, right? We're all different for all kinds of different reasons. But as quickly as we can, you know, embrace your differences, because, you know, we can't change them. And so when you cannot change something, I'm not saying that today you'll accept it, or, you know, tomorrow some people will stop wearing makeup because it's a hard process to go through. But what I would say to the world is that whatever you're going through, it's all about our reaction to it. And how we react from what we're going through is how people will react to us and how people will treat us. And so if you want positive reactions, you have to give positivity out there. You know, it's really sad to hear people not going to family functions, or not wanting to go to work anymore, or feeling like, you know, I don't look good enough to do this. You know, that's really hurtful to hear, because we all should be living our best life. I mean, who doesn't? And so regardless of what you're going through or what you're facing, know that you can live through it. You can still have an amazing life, you know, living with vitiligo, being an albino, being burned and now looking different. You still can have an amazing life. And also, if you want to wear the makeup, do it. If you don't feel okay, you know, with how you look, do it. If you want to enhance something, take something away, you know, add hair, cut it off, do whatever makes you feel good about it, and don't let anybody judge you for it.
Exactly. We actually have some more callers on the line. I'm going to see if any of these callers have anything they want to ask you. We have some, the lines are open for any callers. We have some new callers on the line, 757. We have a 404-678-716. Do you have any questions you want to ask Mr. Kia Jones? All right. Well, I really enjoyed myself. So is there anything that I haven't asked you that you would like to share, since we still got a little bit of time left?
Let me think. So I think I focused on that, you know, children are my, you know, focus. I will always be, you know, indebted to children, because I know that that's just my call in life. I love children and children love me. And so with Superspots can definitely inspire more than just children with vitiligo. That's not, you know, the group for it. It's just about kids being positive. You know, like you said,
wow.
if parents are not teaching their children certain things, then they're not going to know it. At the same time, you know, when I'm out and children say, because, you know, children are honest, you know, they're not mature adults. So kids will say, oh, what's that with your face? Or are you mixed? You know, they think I'm black and white, which is so funny. But I thank God that he's given me so much grace to accept any comment that comes toward me, whether positive or negative. And so I see a lot of parents saying, you know, hitting their kid, stop staring, turn around, stop, you know, stop staring at her. Or kids will make a comment like, what's wrong with your face? And then they'll snatch their kid up. That's not what you say. And I welcome those conversations. I walk over to the parent and I say, you know, can they ask a question? Because they need to know. You know, they didn't know, so that's why they made that statement, you know, and I understand the parent is embarrassed, and the parent may have talked about differences, but it's a whole game changer when, you know, you actually see a difference. You could teach somebody something, but here's now the experience. So I welcome those conversations, and I'll say, you know, you can touch my hand, you won't catch it. What happened is I used to look like this, but now I look like that, you know, and I've had to deal with adults too, because they've said, why are you wearing that mask, you know, at Walmart? And I would walk up to them and say, you know, I wrote a book about this, and, you know, it could really explain some things to you. You know, I don't take all. I take every moment as a teaching point. I take every moment as an opportunity to educate them, you know, because, mm-hmm. and then they'll end up saying, the adult, oh, I'm sorry, you know, I probably should have said that. And I said, yeah, because what if you would have said that to a kid?
Right.
So it's not just children that don't have filters. There's many adults that do not have filters. And so once those words are out there, you cannot take them back. So somebody who is already struggling with self-esteem or, you know, themselves, how are they going to – that can crush them for weeks or months at a time. And so you have to be careful at your initial response. You know what I'm saying? And that's definitely the education I want to get out there, is that – be very careful what you say. And so, you know, I've had people say, you know, I don't mean to be offensive, but can I ask you a question? You know, one lady at McDonald's was like, can you die from that? And I'm like, no. She's like, oh, my girlfriend told me that you're gonna turn all the way white and you're gonna die. I'm so glad I was able to tell her, No, you cannot.
Well, we're gonna all die one day from something, so, but that's the craziest thing right there.
Absolutely.
But again, it's because they're not educated, so.
Right. Because they don't know.
Right. I'm going to try to see. One more caller just called in. Just a minute.
Okay.
Hi, caller. Do you have any questions you want to ask Ms. Nakia Jones? From 7571 area code. Okay. They just want to listen in. All right, excellent. I appreciate you calling in. Hold on, I'll put them on pause. So if people want to buy your book, where can they find your book and how much does it cost?
So Super Spots is $17.99. You can find it on Amazon. 7 Days of Prayer for Blended and Unblended Families, only on there, it's $4.99. On Amazon. Also, my word find book is on Amazon, and I have a coloring and activity book for Super Spots that is $8, and the word find book is $6. So if you go to Amazon and just put in Nakia Jones, all of my books will come up, you know, together.
Okay. Excellent. Mm-hmm. I might have to get my nieces and nephews some for Christmas gifts or something.
Awesome.
I'm the auntie that always buy books. I don't like to buy toys. I always buy educational things.
I'm the same auntie. So, yeah.
And it's crazy because my one niece, they live up north in Buffalo, New York. And mm-hmm. I used to buy, like I said, educational things. And they had, I used to live in D.C. area. And they had this truck, they sold only educational good books. So
wow.
I would go buy the books or DVDs, and I noticed that she always liked to watch DVDs. So my niece would play the DVDs all day. And then one day I came to town to visit, and this baby was reading a book. And I was like, oh, my God. So
yeah.
I'm always about buying educational stuff for kids, especially if, you know, it's something positive. I don't like, you know, to buy toys. I'll leave that
right,
to the parents
absolutely.
If they want to buy them toys, but I want them to remember that Auntie Faye bought them some educational things.
absolutely. And me, you know, growing up, I have two brothers, and it used to annoy me when I was a child, but my mother always brought us speak and spell. She always brought us flashcards with animals and where they came from. And I would be like, can't you just buy us a Barbie like every other parent? You know, but I'm so grateful that my mother was so, you know, she impacted education in us, you know, and that she was like, yeah, you could get some of that sometimes, but this is more important. You know, she was always conscious of how we spoke and that we said things correctly. And so today I'm very thankful for that. You know, I try to do the same thing with my kids and my grandson, you know, because it's important. And, you know, when you put a book in a kid's hand, you're opening up a door to a whole new world. You know, I always tell children, readers are leaders. You know, they're definitely future leaders. And so you have to read.
Mm-hmm. Ma'am. So every time I call, they want to be on FaceTime and they want to read a book. I'm like, okay.
Yes. You started
so
it. You can't end it now. Right.
But I love it. So I would love to, you know, make sure I will make sure I go on the site and order a couple of books for my babies. And I might even order some to give away for Christmas gifts. So I'll see.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I appreciate you coming on Faith Focus Finish Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, it's been a blessing. Thank you so much for having me.
You're one of my first free guests for this month.
Awesome. It's nothing like anything free, but I will share. I have enjoyed, so I definitely will share.
I always tell people anything free sounds good to me.
I know that's right.
So for all the listeners that's out listening and the people that's on the calls, I'm actually doing free advertisement for the month of April because I know a lot of people are out of work and they really can't afford to, you know, to pay for advertising. So I am opening up the doors for free advertisement on Faith Focus Finish Blog Talk Radio. You can email me at faithfocusfinish@gmail.com, or you could just give me a call at 240-640-5492. And again, that's Ms. Nakia Jones, the author of Super Spots, the children's book. You can find her on Amazon. And you can also visit her website at adventureswithnia.webs.com. So make sure you go out and get the book for the kids and for you to read it also. So, again, it's about educating the parent also so the parent can educate the kid, if that makes sense. So I thank you guys for getting on. And I'm going to end out the show with Ruben Studdard, You Are So Beautiful. And Ms. Nakia, thank you again, and you have a great and blessed day.
Thank you. You too, Faith.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
look at me, saying nothing.